Let us bow in prayer. O holy God, on this night, we pray to you as our hope and strength. For you are the God of all creation, and we give thanks for your word made flesh. We give you thanks for the life that death cannot destroy, and for the light that darkness cannot overcome. And so we ask you this evening to enlighten our minds and enliven our hearts by the power of your Holy Spirit, so that we might testify to your light and share treasured memories about the life of Jesus Christ with a hurting world around table. This is our prayer through Christ our Lord. Amen. Our scripture reading for the communion meditation is taken from Matthew's Gospel in the 26th chapter. It begins at verse 17. It is the Jesus having the Passover meal with his disciples. Listen as I read. On the first day of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus saying, "Where do you want us to make the preparations for you to eat the Passover?" He said, "Go into the city to a certain man and say to him, 'The teacher says my time is near. I will keep the Passover at your house with my disciples.'" So the disciples did as Jesus had directed them, and they prepared the Passover meal. When it was evening, he took his place with the 12. And while they were eating, he said, "Truly I tell you, one of you will betray me." And they became greatly distressed and began to say to him, to one another, "Surely not I, Lord." He answered, "The one who has dipped his hand into the bowl with me will betray me. The Son of Man goes as it is written of him, but woe to the one by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that one not to have been born." Judas, who betrayed him, said, "Surely not I, Rabbi." Jesus replied, "You have said so." While they were eating, Jesus took a loaf of bread, and after blessing it, he broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Then he took the cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will never drink again of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." And when they had sung the hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Let us bow in a moment of silence. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I want to begin by sharing with you how much I enjoyed this spring our way dinners, our Wednesday and new dinners. And during those dinners, we participated together in a study that was entitled Meeting Jesus at the Table. We had good attendance this spring, better than last fall. And this fall, we'll meet again, usually beginning in October, for 4 or 5 dinners. And I hope again to offer Paul and I, perhaps together, a study on those Wednesday evenings. The last chapter in that book, Meeting Jesus at the Table, it's where I stole the title for this meditation. It's all I stole from the book, I promise you. But the title is A Meal of Memories, Not the Last Supper. And I thought that was an appropriate title for this evening. What the authors do in the book is they tell their own stories of gathering around family table growing up, and stories on trips of eating together and sharing memories, and then coming back home and sharing those memories over and over again until they become part of the family history. Growing up, I remember one of my favorite family dinner memories at table was at my grandmother's house, usually for Sunday afternoon dinners. I remember it was some of the best fresh vegetables, some of the freshest I'd ever eaten. They came always from her garden. She canned everything all summer long, she and my grandmother, standing over those fires and stirring that tin big pot with those jars, those mason jars, in the heat, fully dressed, wearing a headband. It was an interesting way to grow up, watching them do that. They tried to get me to help, and I resisted. And we still tell those stories at table about how they would stand in that hot weather and stir those bottles with that fire in the middle of the summer. Those Sunday dinners, they always took place at my grandmother's house. My grandmother and great-grandmother lived together. There were no patriarchs in my family growing up. They had all died. I remember my great-grandmother, she always seemed to be 100 years of age. And she would always have the prayer for our Sunday dinners. And it would usually go like this. She would begin to pray a beautiful prayer, but then she would remember all those that she had lost in her life. And then she would begin to weep and to cry. And finally, my grandmother, her daughter, would say, "Stop, that's enough, Lillian." Sometimes she would say, "Shut up," but I would never advise you to do that to your mother. But we still share those memories at our table with our sons and even with their friends when they come, over and over again, and I expect they'll share them with their family. Meals are one of the favorite settings for sharing stories and sharing memories, aren't they? Holiday celebrations, weeknight dinners, conversations sometimes begin like this. "Remember the time when we..." Or, "Dad, tell us the time you took the fishing trip to Florida and you and your friend ran the boat upon a sandbar and it threw you from the boat. Tell that story again." Or, "Grandma, tell us about when..." You fill in the blank. When we gather at tables, we rehearse shared memories. That's what we do this evening. We create links between past and future around shared table. And by telling and retelling our stories, we form a family identity. And we pass it on from one generation to the next. Be careful about skipping those family meals. They're important to pass on those stories, those shared memories. It creates identity. Sometimes for good and sadly sometimes for ill, those stories are carried on. And families and other groups come to know who we are by the stories that we tell. And we can tell some stories even in this church, can't we? We could, but not tonight. It is not too much to say that our entire Christian identity is formed around the table that we share this evening. It is formed, our identity, around the breaking of bread and the sharing of a cup, all while remembering Jesus Christ until he comes again. The Apostle Paul, he reminded the church in Corinth of the treasured words that we now know almost by heart. Many do know them by heart. The Apostle Paul, he shared this quote that we know. He shared it with the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. This is what Paul wrote about the night we just read about in Matthew. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, "For I have received of the Lord that which was also given unto you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body broken for you. This do in remembrance of me.'" In the same way Paul wrote, he took the cup, Jesus did, saying, "This is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat of this bread and drink of this cup, you proclaim my death until I come again." Those are almost identical words from the words we read in Matthew. Shared memories at table. Identity for those early disciples and those early Christians in the book of Acts, later in Corinthians and in other places in the New Testament. And this is the heart of our Christian worship together. This is the night in which we remember. When Christians here in this place, in this room, and around the world gather for that first night that Jesus instituted this holy meal. Jesus Christ, his life, we remember, is poured out for us at this meal. And we gather at this meal in anticipation of his coming again. Treasured memory, treasured hopes, every time we gather then around this table. That's why Jesus did this. It's so important to do. According to Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the last meal that Jesus shared with his closest followers, it was a Passover meal. That's what I read this evening. A ritual meal of celebration and remembrance. And in Jesus' day, this Passover meal, it was one of three pilgrimage feasts that drew Jews together in Jerusalem for a multi-day gathering. The purpose, of course, was to remember the mighty acts of God and how God had liberated, how God had led Israel out of bondage in Egypt into freedom, from slavery to freedom. And for Jesus and his friends, this celebration would take place in the colored reality of under the rule of Roman law and the Roman Empire, not Egypt, but Rome. Interesting, by the time that Matthew's gospel was written, Jerusalem and the temple had already been destroyed by the Romans. And the Passover celebration was becoming now, or at least then, what it is today for the Jews, an in-home celebration retelling the story of God's deliverance, even in the face of disaster and defeat. Again, one thing we need to remember and note this evening is that the Last Supper Jesus had with his disciples is infused with themes about Passover and Exodus. At the center of the Passover meal and almost every story in the book that we shared where Jesus meets people at table, there are four common gestures. Jesus took bread. Jesus gave thanks. He blessed. Then he broke bread, and then he shared it. Those gestures happen again and again when Jesus meets people at table. It's a simple ritual, and it's part of the Jewish meal, the Jewish Passover. Someone takes bread and says a blessing of thanksgiving, and then usually this prayer, "Blessed are you, Lord God, our King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth." The one praying then breaks the bread, gives thanks, and passes it around, and the meal begins. On this night in which we gather, we remember that last meal that Jesus instituted with his disciples just before he was arrested. However, on this occasion, on this night, he adds another laying of meaning. Right out of the blue, he took the bread, he gave thanks, and then he said before he passed it, "This is my body broken for you." Memory was created around table for us. It's interesting to me that scholars point out that in Aramaic, which is the Hebrew version that Jesus and his companions spoke, there is in Aramaic no word for body. And so what Jesus literally says here then is, "This is myself. This is myself. And I am giving it to you. And this is how I will continue to be present with you every time I give myself with you after I'm gone." This is what Jesus says you are to remember when you do this in the future, until I come again. The meal is a meal of memories. It is not just the Last Supper, and it is not the Last Supper. And Jesus wants to remember that this meal is a time of blessing for us. It's a time of prayer for thanksgiving for all God has done for us. We remember each time we gather at this table that the bread and the cup are symbols of Jesus' sacrifice and suffering on this Last Supper before he is killed tomorrow. It is here at this supper with his disciples that he helped his disciples to trust in his vision that God had liberated them, second Exodus is here. God liberated them from sin, evil, and death to triumph. Jesus then wants us to gather and give thanks this evening, to live lives shaped by words and gestures of gratitude, to know and affirm that all we have and all we are is a gift from God. And whenever we break bread, we are to remember that we do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from God. And when we eat the bread and share the cup in remembrance of Jesus, we are to remember the mystery of God's grace and self-giving love to us. The meal we share at the Lord's table tonight is a remembrance of Jesus' last meal on that night in which he was betrayed, and he gives us his self to remember until he comes again. And so let us pray as we prepare to come to this table this evening. O Lord our God, we give you thanks as we come and we hear the words that you take the bread, you break it, you bless, and you give it to us. May we do the same in our own lives and our own families as we continue to create identity among the people we journey with. In Christ's name, amen.